Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him, Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. Thanks so much for being on the show, Doctor. Appreciate it. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. We have Gauls.com, our title sponsor, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. Yes, we're on satellite radio right now. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor, GunLearn.com, on Medicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now. SafeguardRecruiting.com. And also twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. So please check them out. And fishorlandobass.com. You know, they're in Orlando. So next time you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, you know, I always like to say, leave the car in gear, put your foot on the brake, let them get out of the car and go have a good time at Disney, and head over and hook up with Zach and do the bass fishing charter. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, they have alligator hunting. Yes, the Florida, the famous Florida alligator. You can hunt and relocate. You're not killing the alligator, but you can hunt and relocate the alligators here in Florida with Zach at fishorlandobass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Diedrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Shades with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, guys, here's what we're going to be talking about. Our first story, it's a main story. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. James Comey's daughter allegedly offered Epstein a deal to frame Donald Trump. I don't know how much stake I'll put into the story, but we're going to talk about it. Also, illegal alien truckers. Yes, they're in the news again. But this guy, his sentence was reduced to 10 years after a fatal California crash. So, yeah, California is once again in the news with the CDL. So then we have a son who robbed their family members at gunpoint. He's shot by NYPD officer during a struggle. Boy, I tell you, that is a confusing video to watch. We have East Hartford officers shooting at a suspect driving a vehicle that rammed a cruiser. It is justified. A Florida wife, and guys, get your pads and pens out because I think she's available. A Florida wife ambushes and stabs her husband following a threat to sacrifice their son. And it's not making us people in Florida look any better, Chief. We've got a Fresno police officer. Well, they released footage of this officer striking an armed suspect with a patrol car. You got to love that. And San Ann police officers fatally shoot an armed suspect or when he points a gun at them. And we have two police agencies involved in that one. So, Chief, if you're ready, we'll start off with James Comey's daughter at rvmnews.com. Now, everybody that watches the show, we know that she was working for the DOJ. She was working actually out of the Washington, D.C. Office. And his daughter allegedly offered Epstein a deal to frame Donald Trump. So, look, this is a kind of like not really a jailhouse confession, but here's the scoop. Jeffrey Epstein's one-time cellmate, this is the guy that's alleging the federal prosecutors that they offered Epstein a deal to implicate President Donald Trump in his 2019 criminal case in exchange for his freedom. Now he's making that claim now. So the previous administration did this, and he's making this claim to the current administration, which, of course, is under Trump. The claim surfaced in a newly revealed pardon application that was filled out by this guy, Nicholas Tartaglione. He's a former NYPD police officer who shared a cell with Jeffrey Epstein at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan, of course, before Epstein died. Now, Epstein was charged with federal child sex trafficking and crimes, arrested back in July of 2019, and he was kept here while awaiting trial. Now, our former cop, Tartaglione, he was in custody at the same facility while awaiting trial on murder charges, and he told investigators that Epstein had disclosed details of conversations that he allegedly had with federal prosecutors. Now, I'm not saying that this former NYPD guy is a saint. He's a former cop, and that's about the best thing about his name because he did some horrible he's accused of and got convicted of doing some horrible stuff. According to the documents obtained by the New York Post, Tartaglione claimed that prosecutors told Epstein that he said President, that if he said President Trump was involved with Epstein's crimes, that he would walk free. And it goes on to say that Epstein told me that the lead prosecutor, Maureen Comey, said that he didn't even have to prove anything as long as President Trump's people could not disprove it. And according to Maureen Comey, the FBI were her people, not his, meaning President Trump's. And then Tartaglione, our former NYPD guy in prison for murder, also wrote that Epstein maintained Trump was not involved in any of the criminal activity. And now our cop that we're talking about that's coming up with this information, 56 years old. He's been awaiting trial at the time that Epstein's death. He was convicted in 2024 for the 2016 killings of four men in Chester, New York, related to a failed cocaine deal. Not a great guy. Prosecutor said that a former canine officer in Westchester County kidnapped and murdered the victims before burying their bodies on his property. So, of course, my first thought is this guy's applying to be pardoned? And is he, you know, is this stuff true? I can believe that it's true, but I don't want to be unfair either. Or is he just trying to get on Trump's good side so he'll get a pardon? Dr. Schultz?
You know that meme where you've got that crazy guy in front of a bulletin board and you've got all these snippets and pictures and articles and yarn running from one to the other? It's like he's obviously going nuts with all these interconnections. This thing is so complicated. This web is so crazy. you've got old Comey, you've got young Comey, you've got this snitch, you've got Epstein, you've got Trump maybe.
Did you say snitch? Huh? Oh, you're gonna get some hate mail for that snitch word.
Jailhouse informant.
Hey, don't even think that they're not watching this show, Chief. Or at least they used to until you called them snitches. So okay.
In jail or bad NYPD.
there you go.
If anybody's digging a hole, I think it's Chip DeBlock this morning.
Every confidential informant watching the show now, all that whole cadre of confidential informants that I've got watching the show now I'm gonna be getting hate mail now. Thank you.
You know, and I had this may not be funny, it's not appropriate, but I had a chief who came from a completely non-law enforcement background, and he was always trying to get in with the troops, you know, and make it sound like he'd had some street sense. And there was an armored car postal robbery that happened in our region, and he said, "You guys get out there and check with your snipes." And we were like, "Our what?" He meant snitches, which of course he should have said confidential informants. You're educating me about all this undercover stuff today. But anyway, so this gentleman who I'm sure was wrongly accused of a quadruple murder, who happened to be housed in the same motel arrangement as Epstein, you know, that there's just, you're right, it has a ring of truth to it, kind of makes sense, but he's also, like all CIs, they do that for a reason. It's transactional. What am I going to get from it? And the other thing that kind of taints it to me is this guy would never, of course, you know, there's in this lawfare stuff, it's not always, can I get a conviction? It's, can I get a headline? And this comment that Comey's, as the prosecutor, offered a deal, said, we don't have to prove anything, we just have to say something that he can't disprove. You know, that's the crux of a lot of this, you know, those 30-something lawsuits and criminal charges that were filed against the president, different cases. So it's hinky all the way around. It's kind of believable. It's never something that they could bring a case on.
But you know what I would do as an investigator? I'd polygraph this guy. I polygraph so many guys. Even knowing the information is, I mean, we're not going to charge this guy. If I could charge the guy, I wouldn't be able to use a polygraph against him, right? But I can polygraph this guy as an investigative tool. I doubt that if she would have gone and met with Epstein, I doubt that she would have done it solo. And there certainly would have been a record of her going down and visiting Epstein anyhow. There would have been a written record or entry. So I would offer, I mean, they've got polygraphers on the payroll, and the FBI does too. So I would, I know some FBI polygraphers. So I would polygraph them. They have absolutely nothing to lose. And if he passes a polygraph, then I might be willing to go down the rabbit hole and see if there's any truth to that or not. Cause it would be important to know. If they've done that to Trump, have they done it to other people? And whether it's Republicans or Democrats or whoever is in charge, I don't want that to happen to anybody, no matter who's in charge. Even with Donald Trump in charge. So
that's true. If you've got a prosecutor that's willing to tiptoe around in the shadows and you know, instead of looking at the evidence and deciding a charge, you say, well, what can we charge this guy with? And let's see if we can come up with some with some evidence. I was a little surprised that Epstein may ever even had a cellmate or somebody that he could communicate with. They
and,
surely
and a former
had
cop. English. And a former cop as well. That took me by surprise. But you know, with Maureen Comey's daughter trying to get her job back too, this would go a long way. I don't know if she's got any ground to stand on. I doubt that she's got much, but this would certainly put a nail in that coffin if she actually made a representation like that to a bad guy. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not, you know. Anyhow.
Yep, that's another string on the chart.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, we're coming up on our first commercial break, guys. So hopefully you're enjoying the show. Brian Spencer on Facebook and Laura Johns. Thanks for watching the show. Our first commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're going to be talking about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we can choose to buy our gear from just about anywhere, right? And when you throw the online mix, I mean, the choices are limitless. But here's what's important. I want to remind you guys about that. You want to support the companies that actually support law enforcement. A lot of companies say that they do, but do they really? But I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens of focus organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a radio code. And using it at Gauls.com, you get 15% off your next order. It's radio15. So type in radio15, get 15% off your next order at Gauls.com. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Again, Gauls.com. And now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. You heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most hands-on, common-sense approaches that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. And don't forget to watch those cool videos. Those are very entertaining. ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. We've been talking about, we've got a former NYPD officer that was in prison for a quadruple murder, if you can believe that. But he was a cell partner with Jeffrey Epstein when Epstein was waiting to go to the trial. And he says that the federal prosecutor, Maureen Comey's daughter, had offered him a deal if he came up with any dirt on Trump, even if it wasn't true, that he could walk free as long as the other side, Trump's side, couldn't disprove what he came up with. So that was some interesting information. So if you're ready, Chief, to move on, we can hit our next one, which is an update story.
Let's
Does that sound good to you? All right. So moving along here, guys, RVM News, which stands for Red Voice Media News.com, illegal alien trucker sentence reduced to 10 years after fatal California crash. So we've been covering a lot of CDL stuff, commercial driver's license stuff lately, and it's really a problem. In fact, we've had, Was it Oklahoma, I believe, they did those two operations with ICE where they're nabbing these guys driving these CDLs, and a 21-year-old illegal alien from India accused of causing a freeway crash that killed three people in San Bernardino County, California. He's now getting a reduced prison sentence after prosecutors dropped earlier claims of drug and alcohol abuse that was reported by the Western Journal. Now, I'm just going to say his last name is Singh, and that's S-I-N-G-H, was initially facing up to 17 years in prison after being charged with three counts of vehicular homicide with gross negligence and reckless driving. Prosecutors say that he was behind the wheel of a semi truck that went into the westbound traffic on the 10 freeway last month, killed three people and injured four others. And according to the New York Post, his potential sentence was reduced to 10 years after authorities determined that he was not impaired at the time of the crash. But the initial reports had said that it suggested that he was. And now we've got ICE requesting to be notified prior to his release after sentencing because he's been in the United States illegally since 2022 during Joe Biden's term, which should not be a shocker to most people. ICE officials have confirmed that he's not a U.S. citizen, subject to being deported upon completion of his prison term. And then what's complicating the case is that U.S. Department of Transportation reported that California improperly upgraded his commercial driver's license shortly before the crash. So listen to this. Federal records are showing that on October the 15th, that Singh's restricted, he had a restricted CDL, which allowed him to only operate within the state of California. But it was upgraded to full commercial license permitting interstate travel. Can you believe this? I mean, you would never believe it if it wasn't in print. That upgrade, the DOT said, it violated a September 26 directive that paused CDL issuances and upgrades to ensure compliance with the new federal safety standards. And the report concluded that California's action was not in compliance with federal rules, not that California cares, and that Singh's license should have been revoked instead of expanded. And among those killed in the crash were a high school basketball coach and his wife, according to KABC-TV. Chief Schultz.
Well, you know, it's important that we don't see an anomalous, outrageous news story and say, well, this is the problem across the nation. However, in this case, this is illustrative of a problem that's across the nation. We love truck drivers. We love, the fact that they are essential to the economy. I actually drove a big rig for 2 days.
Did you have a CDL?
Oh, no, I had a chauffeur's license, the same thing that a taxi driver. So it was before they started regulating all this stuff. And, it has to be a highly regulated industry because of the threats to it, not only just the size of the truck, but much of the cargo. And I don't know if in looking at this article, if you looked at the dash cam of the crash, it was horrific. It was a big interstate multi-car smash up and obviously 3 dead and 4 injured. And it reminds me, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I went in several years ago to get a motorcycle endorsement. It had expired. And they said, you can't get your motorcycle endorsement because your driver's license has expired. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I need to start over. I only say that because this guy went in for an upgrade to his CDL. Yeah. And they should have looked and said, you shouldn't have a CDL to begin with.
Exactly.
Can you say if California had been on the ball and done the right thing in terms of immigration enforcement and in terms of CDL enforcement, then would these three people still be alive? Yeah, the answer to that is probably so. I'm just assuming that when he was originally charged with DUI or operating influence of drugs or alcohol or other drugs, I always put alcohol in the drug category. They must have had to wait for a chemical test or something for them to have that initial charge and then say, oh, we're not going to charge him with that. But you can't put this guy behind bars too long.
Yeah, agreed. When you were talking about your license being suspended, when I retired from the police department after 30 years, about 6 months, well, I retired in September, and right around Christmas time, I got a notice saying that my license had been suspended for the last 6 months, and that it was a mistake, and that they had just corrected it, and that now my license was valid. So while I was a police officer, I was driving around with a suspended driver's license, and this is in Florida of all places. We usually have our act together, but yeah.
Well, yeah. For the record, mine wasn't suspended. It was just expired. And I was a police officer at the time. In fact, it was my annual, okay, let's check everybody's driver's licenses. And they said, should I check yours too? I said, sure. Yeah. I got to be the same as everybody else. And I was like, oh, and it was expired long enough that I had to go back and actually do the driving test and the written test.
Oh, crap. Really?
Yeah. And I'm an EVOC instructor. I was at FLETC, went through the driver in training school and went to their range and everything. I flunked the driver test and had to retake it. a little overconfident. It's like my wife always says, Joel, you're not in pursuit. Just calm down.
Yeah. Well, we've got a pretty sensational story with a video component coming up. A little complicated. We're gonna you know, run it down for you. There's a lot going on, guys. If you guys just watched the video, you would be completely lost, because I was. So stick with us. Interesting story coming up. Our second commercial break, and we'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less. When you can have the best, head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, that is AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And we're going to be talking about a very interesting story. It's got a video component. We grabbed this off of Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And this is one of those videos where you're probably going to want to watch it. I recommend watching the video before you know what's going on, just to see if you're better than me. Because, guys, I have to, in all honesty, I did this job for 30 years. I was completely lost in watching this video. And Chief, I know I wrote in the show notes, you know, it's only 3 minutes long. You know, so I suggest you watch the video first, see if you can figure it out, and then read the story. So here we go. Here's what happened. Massive confusion. I got to say, a female officer saved the day. And she withdrew, but then she came back and saved the day. I mean, it's kind of a wild story. So if you start watching at the 39, after you watch the full video and just watch it, and then go back at 39 seconds. So you're almost like a third of the way into it, 'cause it's only 3 minutes and 7 seconds long. Anyhow, You watch the surveillance video at 39 seconds. You see the officers are waiting outside of an apartment door. So it is a apartment building with one of those narrow hallways, and you got doors on both sides. So the cops are inside. And you've got, anyhow, all of a sudden you hear gunfire. And what happened, our bad guy is on the inside of the apartment, and they're there because they've gotten a call. He's in there with his father, and it's an 18-year-old suspect, and he starts firing shots through the window. But all you hear in the hallway, this loud, you can imagine how loud it is, these shots being fired inside. So people start vamoosing, you know, they're getting in elevators, they're running, and the female leaves. The female that ends up saving the day, you know, she ends up leaving and just kind of going out of the hallway and not running, but just like walking away. So we've got one officer that's kind of like, it looks like maybe, it's hard to tell, but it looks like maybe he's got the door like pried open or cracked, and he's like conversing with the bad guy inside. And then finally, at 1 minute and 5 seconds, the suspect bolts out of the apartment door into the hallway. So our officer that's there guarding the door, he backs away. The suspect, instead of running at him, starts running towards it looks like a supervisor wearing a white shirt at the other end of the hallway. So this bad guy has nothing in his hands. He's got a backpack on. He's running towards the supervisor. He sees the supervisor drawn down on him. He turns around, and now he's going to start running back the other way, which is where our officer guarding the door had been, and a large officer. And during that time, that officer is already running towards him. He's going to take him. It looks like he's going to tackle him. Well, they run into each other, and it kind of like they collide. And it almost looks like our bad guy like nails him in the shoulder. Our cop goes down, falls on his back, and his head like cracks on the freaking hard. It looked like almost like a tile floor And it rocked this. It obviously rocked this cop's world. He ended up being in a prone position, you know, face down, but he couldn't get back up. And then you hear shots being fired and you can't really tell a lot of what's going on. And so what happened was, is that we got surveillance video, body cams and stuff. So after our bad guy runs and hits our cop and knocks him down, he keeps running. And now he sees this other cop that's inside the elevator with the doors open, pointing a gun at him. And he throws his hands up like at that point, I got to admit, I thought, all right, this guy was just an innocent that was in the house running out for his dear life and saying, hey, take care of the bad guy. He's like, hey, I don't have a gun. I'm not the bad guy. And so that cop in the elevator lets him run by. Now, all of a sudden, our female is coming back because she hears the commotion. And she sees this guy. He almost runs into her and he turns the corner. And as he's turning away from her, she shoots him twice, one in the lower back and the one in the arm. And so I saw, you know, I'm trying to process all this stuff and figure out what happened. And then I can read the story. But at first I'm thinking, wow, she shot this guy in the back. She thought he was the bad guy. And I'm thinking that she messed up, and lo and behold, he was the bad guy. So that's the way this thing goes down. There's so many moving parts. It's so dynamic and fluid. I don't know exactly what the female knew when she pulled the trigger. But Chief Schultz.
Yeah. Could you go over that again?
It's a lot, isn't it?
You know, the main thing I noticed, bless his heart, the white shirts. I can't remember if it's like sergeant up or lieutenant up in NYPD. They wear the white shirts, the command shirts.
Yeah, and well, that's just sergeant, but
yeah, I was one of his chief. I wore a white shirt. I like the look of it, but I wouldn't have liked the look of it if it made me even a bigger target than I already was. Because here we have this hallway, we've got cops coming from both directions. And, you know, I did a ride along with NYPD a while back, but it was actually after 9/11. I went up there as chaplain and did a ride along, I think probably in this precinct, because it was with the Brooklyn Boys. But the one thing that NYPD has is lots of cops. And, you know, they've got multiple millions population, but they've got over 30,000 cops. And when they get a call, there's plenty of police officers there. So hopefully they know, because they're always going to be working in a team, how to work in a team. But this one maybe fell apart a little bit. But you've got this hallway. You know, we had a hallway scenario not too long ago, and we talked about the tactical challenges of that. Jeff Winiger weighed in on that one. And where do you go? Where do you go for cover and concealment?
Oh, you've got none, unless you use someone else's body.
I noticed those officers got very, very flat, very, very skinny really quick when they were back in the little recesses of the doorway. And the one officer, that's why he was holding the elevator. He just was trying to find a place to be able to stay. So that's a real challenge. And it's something I'm not going to fault any of these officers for doing what they did, because, again, happy ending. With the bad guy going down and no cops seriously hurt. I am concerned about the officer that was bulldozed over by the fleeing suspect. But, man, you've got to train in these hallways. If you've got a place, if you've got a jurisdiction with apartment buildings, you got to think about that. And I would say rule one is everybody come in from the same direction so you're not caught in the crossfire. You know, The white shirt, I think of a lieutenant, you know, he was willing to engage, drew down, willing to take the shot. And he might have hesitated because of the other officers downrange.
Oh, the backdrop. Yeah. Good point.
But you're right. The female officer that took the shot, and some civilians particularly might be really uncomfortable. Oh, yeah, don't shoot anybody in the back. Well, you know what? Yes, you do. This is not the old West. This is not, you know, Matt Dillon facing a bad guy, 20 paces, drop the handkerchief, whoever shoots first wins. Tennessee versus Garner allows the use of potentially deadly force against a fleeing felon. You've got an imminent danger. You've got somebody that was armed. You've got somebody that's attacked a police officer. Plenty of justification for engaging that person who was fleeing. And, fortunately, evidence-wise and justification-wise, they did find a weapon. I don't know how the weapon got in the backpack, you know, during that whole thing. But you never know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so apparently, after he was shooting the window and stuff, he must have loaded it in the backpack before he bailed out of the apartment. So that would be, I mean, that would, for a talking point, that would certainly be one, you know, because you're technically, look, it's like a bad guy's pointing a gun at you. You don't have to determine whether it's loaded or not, or whether it's a BB or pellet gun. It doesn't matter. And now you've got a guy, he has just fired the gun. He's not, you know, he's not cooperative. He's an uncooperative bad guy. He's not stopping, or, you know, he's just running. He's trying to get away and stuff. So I really, it's a fluid situation. But he was not armed to the point where he could have readily used the gun. It was in his backpack. So he wasn't going to be able, but I still, I can't be too critical in a situation like that, because it could have easily been in his waistband or anywhere else. And now, you know, he's almost ran in the her. He's already put another cop down on the ground. You know, I have no issue with the use of deadly force, because he could have been compliant. He just chose not to. So,
and you know, we seldom talk about the role of comm officers and dispatchers on these cases. These officers were prepared because they knew you've got a family disturbance at very least, and B, a robbery involving gunshots. So they were amped up. They were prepared to go into battle. I just think the way that this thing played out was just kind of screwy, with this guy busting out and running down, knocking over an officer, fleeing the scene. You're right. It was chaotic. But you know, that's police work.
Could you imagine having a training scenario? Let's say you have a virtual reality system and you're putting recruits through it, and you throw something like this at them. Oh my gosh. It's just, this is what we deal with. And I won't necessarily say on a daily basis, but frequently, and you've got to have a good head on your shoulder. But this was a very difficult one. I see that. Remember, we had Brian Spencer. He was actually from your neck of the woods. He was a sheriff in Bent County, Colorado, if you're familiar with it, because I know that's where you're at in Colorado. Chief.
Yeah, that's the part of Colorado that really ought to belong to Kansas. No offense, Sheriff Spencer, but I was at TSJC, at the Southern Colorado Law Enforcement Training Academy, from 89 to 95, and then Chief here in Walsenburg from 95 to 97. So I'm sure we crossed paths somewhere. Your name sounds familiar.
Welcome. All right, excellent. Well, thanks for watching the show, gentlemen. Hey, we got another commercial break coming up. It'll be quick. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply going to GunLearn.com and, you know, learning 14 training modules. I mean, that is their gift to law enforcement. They have 14 training modules that you can do from your home or your office, or you can attend a live seminar at gunlearn.com and become a safe, accurate, competent, certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianko. Even when I was active, I learned a founder. I met him, Dan O'Kelly, when I took one of his classes. I was on guns and it was on ammunition. The course is at huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge to gun manufacturers, federal agencies, and forensic organizations. Go to gunlearn.com today and check it out. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, former police chief. And wow, we just broke down a very, very complicated use of force story. And female saved the day. Love it. Any final words on that one, Chief? Are you ready to move on to East Hartford?
No, the viewers and the listeners don't know that we have to study reams and reams of stories and material to prepare for this. And so,
the gift of gab.
Let's go through the list, see what we got.
All right. Hey, and for people look watching the show, look, I know that, you know, during a live show, you know, we really don't have the opportunity to show you, you know, videos during a live show. And look, most of our audience is arguably, you know, podcast or radio. So you're not even watching a video portion of the show. So I always like to say that if we cover a story with a video component that you really want to see, here's how you do it. So we have, there's two versions of the show. And this is we're a daily show Monday through Friday. And it's during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock on Eastern time. Okay. So if you're in California and 3 hours earlier, it's going to be 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning. But if there's a video that you want to see, the live show, I just told you when it is during the lunch hour, Monday through Friday, but we have a produced version of the live show where we actually embed every video that we talk about into the show. And we do it right as we're talking about it. And we put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up. So that comes out the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time, Tuesday through Saturday. So all you have to do is wait till the next morning at 9 o'clock on our Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable. You'll be able to watch that on our Rumble channel and check out that special version. It starts off just like the live show. But you'll quickly see videos and pictures are popping up and stuff. It's a great way to watch the show. So this next story, we got it from Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel. This is Butter. They get the videos before anybody. East Hartford officers shoot a suspect driving a vehicle that ended up ramming a cruiser. And of course, it was justified. So East Hartford, Connecticut, the Office of Inspector General concluded that its investigation of a shooting involving two East Hartford police officers who opened fire on a car fleeing an auto shop last year, saying the officers were justified in using deadly force. Now, they were called, the East Hartford Police Department, they were called to the governor's auto body shop around 3:30 in the afternoon. So middle of the afternoon, officers were told that somebody pointed a firearm at one of the tow operators during a dispute about whether items were missing from a vehicle that was actually towed to the shop the day before. So Officer Brian Altamirano, he's the first guy to get there, and he sees a white Infiniti in the parking lot and someone in the driver's seat with a man and a woman standing on the passenger side of the vehicle. So again, he pulls up, he sees this white Infiniti, and there is a male and female on the outside, and there is a dude behind the driver's seat. And also, I believe it was the male on the outside of the car, he was in possession. He had like a child, not a very, very young child that he had in his possession. So the officer arrives at the shop, stops near the Infiniti. He exits his cruiser and he asks if anyone has any firearms. Well, apparently that got the attention of the dude behind the driver's wheel, because the Infiniti all of a sudden is going to lurch forward. Just before he lurches forward, we've got a second cruiser pull up as backup. So the Infiniti crashes into this guy's cruiser and then it starts backing up. Well, when it crashes into the cruiser, mom and dad or baby daddy and baby mama, you know, they've got one infant, but there's apparently one more that's left inside the car. Well, when the car lurches forward and crashes into the backup police cruiser, the front passenger door opens up. It was never fully closed, apparently. Mom and dad rush up and they're open up the rear passenger door trying to get the infant out right when he steps on the gas reverse. And now he like catches them in the open car door and everybody goes back and they crash into this building. And so dad is still standing up. He's got, you know, like both infants now. Mom is down, and it's just it's kind of like a bad, scary scene, right? And so the Infiniti then lurches forward again. It cracks and hits the police cruiser again, the backup one, and then it starts driving away. And then our officer fires his weapon at least six times at the car. And but the other officer fires too. So both officers fire at the car as it's fleeing, but they said it was a good shoot. Chief Schultz.
Yeah, this shooting at fleeing vehicles is, I'm glad that they were clear in that. You've got a guy who's obviously has no regard for human life. He put children at risk. He put officers at risk. He was believed to be armed with a firearm. And so for him to be released or for them to engage in a pursuit, which could have been, you know, even more dangerous. I'm glad that they were cleared in that shooting. You know, we've seen so many videos where cars are used as weapons, and when police officers have to make a decision about whether is my firearm going to be the right instrument or a useful instrument in ending this threat and this situation.
Oh yeah.
I might say, and I think all the cops did a fine job. I think there are many, many situations where I see and where I've been involved. And so I'm preaching to myself, my younger self here. you know, why do we always have to approach right where we park, right in the middle of the action? You know, what would be wrong on some occasions of, and I, this unfolded pretty rapidly, of getting on the speaker and making commands. Hey, everybody, police operation. I need everybody out of the car, put the car in park, and everybody come out of the car. Whether that would have made a difference in the outcome or not. One of the things that that occurred to me is when the bad guy in the car was trying to get away initially, and the good guy who was the passenger said, I've got to rescue this kid. I've got to get back in the car and get this kid out of the car before this maniac driver takes away with the kid. As an officer, I would have looked at that and thought, oh, this, what's this guy getting back in the car for? You know, is this guy a threat? We don't always know who the good guys and bad guys are. And this guy for that particular moment, and I don't know what kind of association he had with the knucklehead that was the driver of the car. But in this particular moment, this guy was a good guy and a hero. But from the officer's point of view, going to, you know, a gun call and somebody that's trying to get away and is willing to hurt people to do it, what's this guy up to? Is he going in for a gun? Is he trying to get in and assist? I don't know.
Could you imagine the officers not knowing that there's a child inside that car still opening fire on him? Because, I mean, I would think they had to have been thinking about it. Here he is trying to run over people and ramming a cruiser twice. I know they shot when he was fleeing, and that would be a good debatable point. But oh my gosh, you know, just not knowing what's in the car. It's another great example on, you know, you don't always know what's inside the, you know, the house or the vehicle before you open up on it. But we got 2 minutes, and I want to cover this last story if that's okay. It's going to make us look bad, but TampaFP.com, Florida wife ambushes and stabs her husband following a threat to sacrifice her son. This is how we roll in Florida, Chief. Karen, her name is Karen, too. Karen Ruth Dieter. And guys, I believe if she's not single yet, I suspect she will be soon. So you may want to get your pads and papers out just in case you want to get the spelling of her last name. 58 years old of Seminole. She's accused of one count of attempted murder in the first degree of a domestic related incident, according to the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. So deputies arrived at the couple's home on Tuesday morning. It's 8:15 in the morning. They got a call of an assault. The husband's found outside. He's got a laceration on his forearm. According to the arrest affidavit, it started about 5 o'clock in the morning when she wakes her husband up and tells him she wants to know where their son's at. She states, I need to sacrifice and kill you both. That's what she said. So it's almost like that, the chick with the pot of water saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, you know? So the victim claims that his wife then tries to stab him with a large knife. He disarms her and shelters in a downstairs bedroom, okay? And then it escalates about 7:45 in the morning. The husband gets ambushed by her again. She emerges from the refrigerator. She's got another knife, and she's going at his abdomen. And during the fight, she says, I'm going to kill you. And he gets a cut on his arm. He escapes, calls 911. And anyhow, they detain her on the scene. She's booked. And she initially, no bond. Then it was a $100,000 bond. She's got to wear a GPS monitor. I wish this chick was in jail still. 21 seconds. Go ahead, Chief.
This segment was sponsored by the DeBlock Delinquent Dating Service. You look for these things. $10 a month, you can subscribe to that service.
Oh, I just can't. You know, it's like crack. I just can't get enough. It's just, I see these stories and I just want to share them with my peeps, you know? So, yeah, even though it makes the Florida crackers, you know, look bad, I can't help it. I can't help myself, Chief. So. But it makes you guys in Colorado just shine, you know.
Oh, know. No, we got, you know, if you look at all the old TV shows, Unsolved Mysteries, all of the cop shows. Here's a weird case out of Colorado. We've got plenty.
All right. Well, look, hey, Chief Joel Schultz, thank you so much for being on the day show. I appreciate it. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. I support them monthly, and also National Police Association, which the chief referred to earlier. So check out the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. A shout out to our sponsors, guys, galls.com, compliantechnologies.com, aeroprecisionusa.com, gunlearn.com, and medicare.life, safeguard recruiting, two bells and fish, orlandobass.com. We'll look for you guys back. Well, we're going to have shows all next week. I'll meet Carmel. Producer will put together some great stuff. So watch us 12 noon Eastern.